Today was once considered the very first day of the liturgical year. There is a central virtue that is contemplated in the sacred liturgy today. It is the principal virtue of our faith. St. Thomas Aquinas says, in and of itself, it is the greatest of all virtues. No other virtue compares to this virtue in and of itself. However, because we cannot perfect this virtue in this life, charity is a greater virtue. Because of the danger of pride, humility is a foundational virtue. But this virtue is the virtue of faith. So we will contemplate this virtue as it is considered by the ancients before the coming of the evil of Protestantism, which took the virtue of faith and tried to cut it into pieces. Took faith with a capital F and made it faith with a small f. Took faith that was a virtue and made it something that was only an intellectual power. And took faith that is the principal virtue of our faith, of the Catholic Church, of those that are followers of Jesus Christ. And the Protestants took this virtue and they made it an excuse for sin. As long as I believe, I can do whatever I want. Followed by the corollary, it really doesn't matter what I believe. As long as we believe at least the bare minimum that Jesus is God and that He saves. This is not the teaching of sacred scripture. It is not the teaching of Jesus Christ. Not the teaching of St. Paul, the greatest of all the apostles. It is not the teaching of the fathers and doctors of the church. And so we will visit today with Dom Marmion, the great Benedictine abbot, with Bishop Herrera and St. Thomas Aquinas, the real virtue of faith. It is spoken of in the epistle today. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. All of the Jews were under the cloud. All of them followed the pillar. They all ate the same spiritual food. They all drank the same spiritual drink. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. And so He says it to us. This epistle was a warning in the first 1,000 years of our church to those of us that take this tabernacle and take that mass and take our faith for granted. We all eat the same spiritual food. We all come to the whole communion rail. We all eat Jesus Christ. We all eat God Himself. But with most of us, God is not well pleased. Because the faith is not alive in us. It isn't alive. Oh, I do everything I'm supposed to do. But the faith is not alive in me. And if it is not alive in me, then I am not alive in Christ. My soul is already dead, or it is on the path to death. Sacred Scripture makes it clear. In one sentence, it states in what sanctity consists in the Book of Wisdom. It states it also in other books, the Book of Proverbs. St. Paul reiterates it. The just man lives by faith. What does that mean? The just man lives by faith. Faith cannot remain in the back of the mind. Faith is not something that we memorize in a catechism. Now there are 12 articles of our creed, and we must know them, and we must believe them, and we must adore. But if it is only something we believe, and we do not live by that belief, then we are children of Satan, because he is the father of lies. And if we believe one thing and we live another, we are liars. The faith is not for liars. The faith, says Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. The way, the truth, and the life. It is not for liars. We eat the same spiritual food. We drink the same spiritual drink. We are all under the cloud. We all follow the pillar of fire. And with most of us, God is not well pleased, because the faith has not become a virtue in our life. Whenever the ancients speak of this faith, they do not say, "Do you believe this and believe that?" alone, although this is of the utmost importance and cannot be underestimated its importance. It is not sufficient to practice this virtue. Faith is a virtue that resides firstly in the mind. But it is not a virtue unless the will is engaged. The will makes us believe the words of faith. The will makes us believe that God the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are one God. And then the will makes us put that belief into practice. How do we know what we should do? Why are we charitable to our neighbors? Why do we come to Mass on Sunday? Why do we go to confession? Why do we do everything that we do as Catholics? It is all because of the faith. We do not accept part of that faith. We accept all of it. St. Paul describes the faith in the epistle today. What is this faith? There was a spiritual rock that followed them. The rock is faith. Our church is built upon the rock. It is built upon a solid foundation, upon a deposit that does not change. It is the same faith that Jesus Christ taught 2,000 years ago. It has not changed. And that faith was the same as Adam taught 4,000 years before him. There is one faith that has been from the creation of the world and shall remain unto its ending. Now there have been different stages of this faith. The stages of the preparation for the coming of Christ. And then the staging of spread the life of Christ. And then the stage of the spreading of Christ. But the faith is built upon the rock. What is this rock? We must live by faith. What is this rock? What material is it made of? What is the centerpiece of the rock? Now the rock is Christ, et petra erat Christus, says St. Paul in the epistle today. And the rock was Christ. What is Christ on earth? What is he inseparable from? What is the centerpiece of our religion? There is only one place where we have met Christ. Only one place where we can say we know him well. And that is the place we drove the nails through his hands. The place we drove the nails through his feet. The place we scourged him. The place we crowned him with thorns. This is the place where we have met Jesus Christ. We met him on the cross. And we were not innocent bystanders. We were mockers. We are indifferent. We scourge him. We crown him with thorns. We drive the nails into the wood. And we pray. If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Save yourself. Save us. Is this not what our prayers are usually like? Lord, take me down from whatever cross I have. I believe in you. I love you. And because you are good, you'll take me down from my cross and I'll never have to suffer again. Prove that you are God. Make me rich. Prove that you are God. Make me healthy. Prove that you are God. Make me popular. This is the way we speak to Jesus Christ. If you are the Son of God, prove it. Come down from the cross. He won't come down. He will not separate himself from that wood. It is in that wood that we find the rock. It is in that wood that we find Jesus Christ. It is in that wood that we find our faith. We will never find it anywhere else. And perhaps this is the instinctive reason why wherever there is a Catholic space, there is a crucifix. We instinctively know that there is something wrong with a bedroom that doesn't have a crucifix in it, a house that doesn't have a crucifix in it, a church that doesn't have a crucifix in it, a rosary that doesn't have a crucifix on it. We instinctively know this is what it's all about. Who is the man of faith? Dom Marmion says, Jesus Christ has ordained that it be the priest who is the man of faith. He is the one who must be the rock, for he is Alter Christus. It is his duty to give the faith to his flock. It is his duty to kneel before he who is the light of faith. It is his duty to be filled with that faith and then to give it to his children. And if he is solid in the faith, there will be a sound wall and it will have a ceiling and it will protect the children. The children of Christ. And we priests are no different than you. We are terrified of the cross. We are driving down the highway and we see a cross. We put our blinkers on. We put the car in reverse. We find another way. Or we try to. And yet Christ has ordained that the faith cannot be seen. It cannot be understood. It cannot be a part of life without that cross. I have come to conquer the world, he said. And then he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all things unto myself. If I be lifted up upon the cross. It is in the cross that the solution to everything is found. This is the faith. Christ came to this earth to preach. Where did his words begin to take effect? When he spoke the seven last words upon the cross. It is these words that changed the world. All of his long sermons, those people that heard those words were there crucifying him on Good Friday. But after he spoke words from the cross, then came resurrection. Then came the Holy Ghost. Then came the foundation of the Catholic Church and souls that would be able to become saints. It was only after the words spoken from the cross that his apostles would be able to understand. They misunderstood him all the way up until the cross. But after the cross, they will begin to understand. This is our faith. The rock was Christ. We are built upon Christ. And Christ is the wood of the cross. We are to give ourselves totally to Him. And we are to judge things differently with new eyes. Don Marmion says, when we are baptized, we enter into the supernatural life. Now there is a different roadmap in the supernatural life because we are above the world. We are in a place where human eyes cannot see, and so we need a new pair of eyes. We need to see with a new light. And the light is the light of faith. And the light shone from on top of the rock of Golgotha. Here is where the light is found. The devil hates the light. And so he tries to avert us from the cross. Because there we will see the divine light. And so he tries to turn us away from it. Look at the wisdom of the devil. And how in the gospel we have the men who received a denarius a day. What is this denarius? It is Christ. This is what we are paid with. When we serve God the Father, we are given God the Son. He is our denarius. And we who have worked all the day, we think that those that come at the 11th hour, they should not receive as much as we. And yet we do not know what is in our hands. We do not know what we have received. We have received God Himself. For all eternity, we will not be able to spend the denarius. We will not be able to use it in its greatest possible power because it is far beyond us. We will not be able to receive its joy any greater. And we are angry because those who came in the 11th hour, they received as much. We look in the wrong way. What do you see when you come to church? You see all the other parishioners that don't do as much as you. You see those who are not faithful. You look around and you see today, for instance, we have a little bit of a sparse crowd. So I want you all to keep your eyes peeled. Who's missing today? Keep track. Number of people are missing. That's why they're bad people, you see, because they're missing the man. I'm here. They're missing. We keep our eyes peeled on everything but Jesus Christ. Why are we afraid to look at Jesus Christ? You said it before. Because when one stands in the sight of innocence and perfection, one cannot but see one's own guilt and weakness. For some foolish reason, we are afraid of our own guilt and afraid of our own weakness. And yet our faith tells us it is the weak whom Jesus Christ loves. It is the sinner whom He reaches out to grab. And so if we are sinners and we are weak, we should not be afraid of our sinnership and our weakness. But we should bring it before the tabernacle. And we have plenty to think of inside of ourselves. We have plenty to be sorry for. We have plenty to love. We have plenty to think about. Without having to worry about our neighbor. How dare they get a denarius like us? You think you've had a rough life, said the older Jews. This is nothing. I spent 40 years in the desert. Eating manna every day. Let me tell you, after a while, manna gets old. I know what it's all about. I've been around. And with most of them, God was not well pleased. The faith entered them like water enters a rock. They are surrounded by the water. But when one breaks open the rock, one finds that it is as dry as a bone. Thousands of years the rock has been in the river. It's pulled out of the river, it's broken open, and it is as dry as a bone. We are hard when the faith of Christ comes to us, when we are meant to be a sponge. We are meant to be filled with the faith of Christ. But we are too busy being angry with others. We are too busy asking for the wrong things. We are immersed by the 12 articles of the Creed, and they are not in our lives. We receive God every day in the tabernacle and Holy Communion. God Himself comes into my heart, into my soul, into my body. And He's not there. We must do something to change that. Number one, recognize every day, O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Put your sins, put your weakness before the cross of Christ. Whenever we see that cross, we are supposed to remember that we are the ones that crucified Christ. Therefore, we should not be so quick to point our fingers at everyone else. And so let us benefit from our faith. Let's let it penetrate our hearts. For if it only stays in our heads, we live a tragic life indeed. And once the faith has penetrated our hearts, it comes back up to the mind, and it gives us a new kind of knowledge, a new kind of understanding. And this understanding drops down into the will and gives us a deeper love. And the deeper love goes back up into the mind, and it gives us a deeper understanding. And in this way, we grow in the knowledge and love of Christ. In this way, the faith begins slowly to fill our beings so that we are able to live by faith. Breathe in and breathe out the faith. We don't do it now, but let us try to begin to be able to do it. Let not the faith stay in the mind. It must go into the heart. I'm going to close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.